Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is October 6th. My name is Campbell. It is great to have you here with us. Today we are studying our technology article for this month, and we have some interesting technology to share with all of you. But before we get into that, allow me to introduce my friends in the studio here. We have Michelle back with us. How are you, Michelle?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me today.
Well, it's great to have you. Do you do a lot of stuff online?
Normally just on YouTube and stuff.
YouTube and stuff. Well, you are young, so, you know, this is kind of your generation type of stuff.
Yeah. Right?
And we have another young guy right now. Albert, how are you?
I'm good. I would argue that YouTube is our stuff. We grew up with it.
Well, you grew up with it. I didn't grow up with YouTube.
But we were using it right when it came out, I feel like.
Well, yeah, but I was already in college. So I didn't grow up with YouTube. Oh. I was way beyond growing up.
Okay, I see what you mean. Fair point.
But yeah, YouTube and Amazon, all this stuff came out when I was in college. So this is all relatively new technology. I mean, it's about 10, 15 years old. But as with anything, technology is continuing to improve and continuing to progress further. So these companies aren't satisfied with sticking to the status quo. They're trying to make new ways to reach out to even more people and to make even more money. And today we are going to be studying about ever-changing technology. And over the next 3 days, we are going to be studying about three big companies: Amazon, IBM, and Twitter, which I'm hoping most of you are familiar with. And these three companies are doing some different things with their services and what they are offering. So let's get into it. Our article today is on page 16. So if you have your Advanced magazine, please do open to page 16 and let's get started.
Ever-changing technology. Amazon, IBM, and Twitter are all making waves in the technology industry. Amazon borrows from YouTube Script, opens marketplace to video creators. Amazon.com has launched a self-serve marketplace for video that lets pretty much anybody upload content and make money off of it. It's where YouTube meets Kindle Direct Publishing, the Seattle tech giant's self-publishing service for books. The launch of Amazon Video Direct highlights Amazon's knack for breaking down most forms of gatekeeping that have traditionally ruled cultural industries from books to movies. Open for business. Amazon Studios, its movie production arm, already invites wannabe screenwriters to submit their scripts and concepts online. Amazon seems to draw inspiration from YouTube and its endless buffet of content as a way to boost its own video library, which is a critical cog in the Prime membership money machine. With lots of new content, it doesn't have to produce or purchase. Amazon also mixes in well-tested techniques from its Toolbox, a self-service platform that lets content creators decide how to share their content and how to charge for it, while Amazon collects a sometimes hefty toll.
All right, friends, we have a very interesting article today, so let's get started. The title of our article is ever-changing technology. Now, what does it mean when something is ever-changing?
Something that's continually being something different.
Right, so it's growing and they're molding it and shaping it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when we see that word ever, it just means continuously and that it's forever changing. It's not staying the same. So ever-changing technology, this technology is continuing to morph and change and become different. And we, again, see three companies here: Amazon, IBM, and Twitter. Can you guys explain a little bit more about these three companies? What is Amazon besides a river in South America?
Amazon started out as a book merchant. They would sell used and new books to students everywhere, and they moved into selling things for everything from food to clothes.
Right.
And now they've started creating their own products as well,
mm-hmm.
in terms of hardware, content, as we were going to talk about.
Right.
IBM is a computer company that has been around long before Apple computers.
Yep, 105 years old.
Right, mm-hmm. and Twitter is a social network platform, best known for brevity,
mm-hmm.
140 characters or less.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically, like your Facebook status update, and that's it, kind of.
But less.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm guessing before the wall became really popular, Twitter kind of jumped in a little bit. It's
mm-hmm.
like, hey, we can be even more relevant, you know, just the things that you need, share with the people that you want to.
Right, yeah, okay. And we see that these three companies are all making waves in the technology industry. What does that mean, that they're making waves?
Making waves is an idiom, which basically just means to be very active so that other people notice you, normally in a way that intentionally is causing trouble.
Right. Well, are they causing trouble?
Oh, you know what? In this sense, I feel like they are a little bit, maybe to each other, for to each other's competition.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I hear the idiom making waves, I just imagine someone in a pool.
Right.
And then you're just like jumping up and down and you're causing a wave. You're like, oh, you're making an impact.
Right. You're making an impact. You're making, you're causing things to happen. Right. So Amazon, IBM, and Twitter, they're doing different things that are kind of changing things and causing things to kind of get a little bit unsettled, but in a good way, right? It's bringing progress. So today we're mainly going to be focusing on Amazon, and Albert described a little bit about what Amazon is. It's currently the largest online retailer, the largest internet retailer, the number one internet retailing company.
Oh.
And they sell everything, right? They sell clothes, they sell books, they sell, and now they're going into movies and entertainment and producing their own TV shows and things like that, right? And so the subtitle for today's section says, Amazon borrows from YouTube's grip, opens marketplace to video creators. All right. So this is, again, a title of an article, so the grammar is going to be a little bit different than what we would usually see.
Mm.
What does it mean that Amazon borrows from YouTube script?
So one of the meanings of script is basically the words that might be for some play or some movie or something that the actors go off of.
Right. And I feel like here it's like a play on words, has a double meaning, because another definition script for script is encoding language.
Mm-hmm.
It means like, oh, a way a program is supposed to run or set.
Right.
So, you know, YouTube is all about video codes and video coding.
Right. So when we're borrowing from a script, this is kind of an idiom, meaning that you are kind of imitating or you're copying someone's way of doing something. So Amazon is kind of doing something similar to what YouTube is doing. And YouTube, as most people know, is a place where people can create videos and then post it online, and then others can go and watch it. So Amazon, though, is also, so Amazon is also creating this type of platform where people can upload their videos, but it's going to be a marketplace. So that means that people are going to be able to charge for these videos as opposed to YouTube, which is free. So Amazon.com has launched a self-serve marketplace for video that lets pretty much anybody upload content and make money off of it. All right, so there are a few words here. What does it mean that something is self-serve?
When I think of self-serve, I actually think of self-serve ice cream.
Ooh.
Where you basically get your own cone and give yourself however much ice cream you want. So
right.
In the same way, a self-serve marketplace for video might be somewhere where it's up to the people to upload their own content
right.
as well as consume their own content as
right.
well.
So you creating your own content, and rather than allowing these big Hollywood or these big production companies to create that content. So self-serve means you do it yourself, you put it, you create the videos, you post it, and then you sell it, which is something that's different than YouTube, right? So they can upload the content and make money off of it. This sounds great for a lot of wannabe filmmakers, right? Which just means people who really want to get into this film industry or into the Hollywood industry, but they're not able to for some reason. But they can create their own content and then put it online and then have a lot of people watch it.
Right. It's giving more tools and control to the independent individual person. Like, hey, you don't need to know all these connections or network of people, or you don't need a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. So here, the next sentence is really interesting. It says, it's where YouTube meets Kindle Direct Publishing, the Seattle tech giant's self-publishing service for books. Okay, this is a loaded sentence here. First, what does it mean when we say that it's where something meets something else?
I want to say it's a cross between something. It's a mixture between something.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, it's a little bit like this, but it's also a little bit like this. And so it's kind of a mixture of the two.
Right.
So we have something, we have A meets B, right? So these two things coming together. And here the A is YouTube and B is Kindle Direct Publishing. Now, what is Kindle Direct Publishing?
Right. So this thing, Kindle Direct Publishing is a little obscure. It's not well known. But I feel like to the people that matters, it is well known. It's basically a publishing company that Amazon provides for people that want to have their content in terms of text,
right,
like books, reports, articles published, mm-hmm. and they also want to monetize it,
right,
generate a little bit more of income.
Right. So allowing the average person who might not have access to these big publishing companies to create their own work and then to publish it and then make money off of it.
Right. Traditionally, you would have to go to like a book company and let them review it.
Right.
And then they'll have to be like, oh, if we can see if there's a marketplace for it, yeah. if there's, you know, if we can do it. But here at Kindle Direct Publishing, what happens is if you have enough people that you feel like will buy your book, you can have them print it out.
Right.
But a safer bet would just do an e-version, a digital mm-hmm. copy, an mm-hmm. e-book.
Right. So how does YouTube meet this? Well, Kindle Direct Publishing, as we've been saying, is where people create their own books and content and then they publish it, right? YouTube is a video platform. So this is where, rather than books, people are creating their own videos and then uploading it. And in the same way, they're being able to distribute their own videos the way that Kindle Direct Publishing distributes books and written content. All right. And the next line here, we see tech giant, right? A tech giant is just a company that, a very big company that is involved in the technology industry. And Amazon is based in Seattle. All right. So this next paragraph, it says, the launch of Amazon Video Direct highlights Amazon's knack for breaking down most forms of gatekeeping that have traditionally ruled cultural industries from books to movies. What does this sentence mean?
What it basically means is Amazon is making it easier to bring to the spotlight, to highlight, oh, here are the new videos that may be relevant to you as a customer.
Right.
These are the videos that it's trending or popular that you want to check out. So, you know, usually when people want to watch a movie or something, there's like tons of commercials, tons of posters everywhere in the world. But here Amazon's like, well, you don't need a huge PR team. We will help you out.
Right. So in essence, what they're saying here, this word gatekeeping just means that in the past, right, for someone to make it, what we say make it in the industry, they must kind of go through the gates, right? Someone has to open the door for them.
Right.
Someone like a producer or a casting director or someone has to discover them.
Right.
And give them an opportunity.
Right.
And then if they feel that they are profitable, if this person or what their content is really good and that they can make money off of, they'll let them into the industry.
Mm.
And that's the traditional way that books and movies and TV shows used to work. But Amazon has been breaking down those walls and opening those doors to just anybody and allowing just anybody to create this content and get their content distributed. And so this is not the first time Amazon's done that. They've done it with a lot of other things, as we talked about, with the Kindle Direct Publishing. And so that's why they say that there's a knack, because they have this skill, or they have this ability to do this really easily. So it's kind of opening the door to just allow any average person without any sort of necessarily without any connections, right? It used to be you had to have connections if you wanted to get into the industry. Now you don't need the connections. You can make your own content. You can put it online without any prejudice. No one determines whether it's good or bad. Even if it's really, really bad, you can still put it on there, right? It used to be you have to be really, really good, but you don't have to be any good. You can just make something and post it up there without any kind of prejudice.
I just want to say that's arguable or subjective. You know, Hollywood sometimes puts out really, really bad stuff.
It's true. Well, it's true. Yeah. So it's open for business. So Amazon Studios, which is its movie production arm, already invites wannabe screenwriters to submit their scripts and concepts online. So Amazon Studios is kind of similar to Netflix, right, Albert?
That is right. So Netflix actually started in 1998 with DVD rentals through the mail, which was a magical thing. I remember that, signing up for it. It was amazing to open your mailbox. And in 2006, Amazon actually got it started in the streaming business, but they wanted you, or they required you, to buy a unit, a box that you put under your VCR or DVD player at home. And so Netflix started streaming via internet in 2008 with just any computer, and Amazon started a year after that.
Right. So it's basically allowing you to watch TV on your computer, right?
Right.
It's like kind of like an internet television channel.
Right. What we call video on demand, internet video on demand.
Right. So Amazon Studios creates its own content, its own kind of programming, and what it used to do is that it would invite wannabe screenwriters, and again, wannabe just means someone who wants to be a wannabe screenwriter, to submit their scripts and concepts online. So someone who is a scriptwriter will write something, post it online, and if they like it, they'll film it, and then they'll make it a part of the Amazon Studios content. Now, Amazon seems to draw inspiration from YouTube and its endless buffet of content as a way to boost its own video library, right? So this endless buffet just means that, you know, when we go to a buffet, we can eat all that we want, and there's all the food there. You can just choose whatever you want, and it's all just available. So that's the idea here. So Amazon has this similar thing to YouTube, where they have this endless buffet of content that people can watch, right? And it says that this video library is a critical cog. And when we talk about a cog in a machine, we're talking about something that helps it to run, right? In the Prime membership money machine. So what is Amazon Prime exactly?
Amazon Prime is a service that people pay for, where they can stream video, music, ebooks, and also get free and faster shipping if they're ordering stuff from Amazon.
Right. Ooh. So this is kind of how Amazon makes money.
Do you have Amazon Prime?
No, I don't. My sister does.
Yeah, Amazon Prime, it's a good service, right? You get free shipping, which is amazing. And that's one of the things with internet online shopping, is that people don't like to pay for shipping. So if you can pay for the Prime and get next day free shipping, it's amazing.
Right. And I like how they uses the word money machine. Basically, it's a machine. It prints out money. That's what it is,
right,
for
it's
Amazon.
It's a machine that creates money for them. And so this video library is a critical cog. It's just what, it's one of those gears that makes this machine run. And it continues to create new content that it doesn't have to produce or purchase. And this is actually a huge thing in the industry, or in the world today, this new trend, right? I recently read this quote that I thought was really interesting. It says, Uber is the world's largest taxi company, but it owns no vehicles, right? Facebook is the world's most popular media owner, but it creates no content. Alibaba is the most valuable retailer, but it has no inventory. And Airbnb, the world's largest accommodation provider, owns no real estate. So something really interesting is happening, right? So all these companies are opening up, and they're kind of like the leaders in their industry, but they don't own anything.
Right. Those companies, I feel like for those companies, it's like information is king.
Yeah.
And it's prioritized. Whereas here, Amazon's kind of shifting towards that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just providing the streets to get things to you, they want to provide the cars to get to you as well.
Right. Yeah. But then they're not buying the cars themselves. They're kind of having us...
We're
creating it. We're providing those cars, right? So it's really interesting. It's kind of like how Uber doesn't have any taxis, right? They hire people to drive their own cars.
Right.
You know?
Saves them a lot of money.
Which saves them a lot of money. And that's kind of the trend now, is like all these industries, all these companies are leading their industry, but they don't own anything.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe one day there'll be like a McDonald's that does that.
How does that work?
How does that work? I don't know. They'll like hire a bunch of different, you know, I don't know.
Giant potluck.
You know, I don't know. Or they'll hire a bunch of people to create their own restaurants, but they'll come under their own. I don't know how that works.
Oh, my
you
gosh.
Think about it.
I feel like McDonald's should call Campbell and we'll get some talks.
So, Amazon also mixes in well-tested techniques from its toolbox. And it's a self-service platform. And what does this self-service platform let people do?
It lets content creators decide how they want to share their content and how they want to charge for it.
Right. And Amazon's not doing this for free, right? They're not just providing this service as a charity.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's right. They are collecting a hefty toll. Now, hefty is a large amount in size.
Right.
I would say an elephant is pretty hefty.
Yes.
And a toll is just a charge payable. Usually when I hear the word toll, I think of like toll booths.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to like in a parking lot or on a bridge you want to cross.
Right. So there's a fee.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to do this and you want to provide content, you want people to buy your content, then you're going to have to pay Amazon a fee, which makes sense because they're providing the technology and the platform.
And the customers.
And the customers. Right. Okay. Well, let's finish up our article here, and we're going to start where it says, keeping it international.
Keeping it international. The service opens the gates to amateur and professional video creators with valid Amazon accounts in Germany, the UK, the US, and Japan. Greg Ireland, an analyst with research firm IDC, says the service will help diversify Amazon's video shelf, bringing to it a lot of non-traditional content in short form or created for the web, favored by younger audiences raised on a YouTube diet. The service is also a boon for content creators because they have more control of their distribution and monetization strategies. It may not have the audience size today that YouTube has, but it certainly gives more flexibility to content partners, Ireland said. The initiative could help more providers become economically sustainable, he added. Mattel and Samuel Goldwyn are among several major content producers to have already uploaded content through Amazon Video Direct at the time of the launch.
So is this just available to content providers in the U.S.?
No, it's actually also available to amateur and professional video creators in Germany, the UK, and Japan as well.
That's right. So it is international. So you just need to have a valid Amazon account. And when Amazon opens up in more countries in Asia and around the world, then more people will be able to access this. All right. So we hear from Greg Ireland, and he's an analyst. And what does he say that the service will help do?
It'll help Amazon diversify their video profiles. So, you know, there's going to be more selection for a wider range of customers and audience to enjoy.
Right. And it's going to be a non-traditional form. It's going to be non-traditional content. And it's going to be in short form or created for the web. And this is what younger audiences like you guys, Michelle and Albert, prefer. Right. And these are younger audiences raised on a YouTube diet. So, again, this is kind of a play on words here. We don't actually eat these videos, but, you know, we kind of...
I kind of do.
...take them in with our eyes, right? And so we're kind of used to these short 5-minute, 10-minute videos rather than long 20, 30-minute, one-hour programs.
Right. And also, like, maybe perhaps the lighting and makeup's not the best.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So the service is also a boon for content creators. What are we talking about when we're talking about a boon?
It's basically benefit or help for content creators.
Yeah. It's helpful for them because now they can control where the content goes and how much they get paid for it, right? In the past, you probably have to sell your content, sell your script to one of the big production companies and hope that they give you a fair cut. But now you can have more control of that. And right now, even though maybe this is relatively new, so not a lot of people know about it, right? The audience size today is not as big as YouTube, but it does give more flexibility to content partners. And this can help people, you know, amateurs or people who are just getting started in the industry, they can start making some money. So right. They don't have to, you know, maybe go and wash dishes at a restaurant to make ends meet. They right. can do something they love, and it gives them a platform where they can create their own content and get paid for it.
Right. I feel like when, you know, just reading about this, it reminds me of Apple and the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't this marketplace that existed before.
Right.
And people, you know, they were not app developers, but now, you know, someone with an idea and some time and effort can create a successful app.
Right. So really the opportunities are ever growing. Now,
right.
Right.
Ever changing.
Yes. Ever changing. Ever growing. Constantly changing. And it's not just for amateurs, right? So the last paragraph here says Mattel and Samuel Goldwyn, these are big companies. They are among several major content producers who have already uploaded content through Amazon Video Direct at the time of the launch. So other companies, major production companies, also want to jump in on this, and they also want to make money. Why not? Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we hope that you found this article to be interesting. We'd love to hear from you. What about you? Would you want to provide your own content on this platform? Or would you spend money on this content and to watch it? Let us know. Write to us at letters@studioclassroom.com. And tomorrow we'll be talking about IBM. So we hope that you'll join us again for tomorrow's program. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.